Company of One, episode number 31. Hello, and this is Dale Callahan. I'm with you today to talk about vision and painting a picture of your future. And we're going to talk about some, I kind of ran into an interesting experience the other day where I was meeting with someone. It was our dean of the School of Engineering at the university, and we were chatting about something, and he was showing me a PowerPoint slide about the future vision. It was just really, you know, to be an academic, it was kind of, for him being an academic, it's kind of cool that he was doing what he did and kind of creating a newspaper article 15 years in the future about what the School of Engineering would look like. Pretty creative for an engineer type to do that. So, I mean, not something I haven't seen before, but it was just a, kind of an awakening to, wow, this is kind of cool. So we're going to talk about how you create a vision and what that means for you and going through some steps. And this is, having a vision is one thing that just can totally change your perspective. Do you need a perspective change? Do you need a, do you feel like you're stuck in a rut and can't get out? Creating a vision can help that. It really and truly can help that, and certainly be fun in addition. But before we get there, let me kind of tell you a little bit about the, I've mentioned this before, the Awaken Your Entrepreneur. I've been engaging with some of you talking about the Awaken Your Entrepreneur webinar that's coming up on November 11th and 12th. It's two nights. Essentially, what we're going to do is from 7 to 9 each night. That's Central Standard Time. But from 7 to 9, we will be talking through how to get started for entrepreneurship. You know, and one of the things I'm just really trying to address in this, the kind of comments, the questions I get so often from people, they'll tell me things like, you know, Dale, I want to start a business, but I don't have any skills. I don't have any ideas. I don't have the guts. Usually that comes after a little bit of conversation, but people, you know, it's scary. It's an unknown. People just tell me they don't know where to start. What do I do first? You know, it seems daunting to go out there and do something. I can't make any money at what I love doing. Now that one I love because I love challenging that idea. If you have that idea that you can't make any money doing what you love doing, then you certainly need to participate in this event to, I'd love to hear it. I want to do something, but I never seem to act. I can't overcome the resistance inside of me. I mean, I hear all of these kind of statements, you know, that people will make. And yet then I see a lot of people doing, and I always say this, and it kind of sounds funny, weird things. Things that are just amazing, and we're going to share some of those on the webinar. Things, companies, individuals making significant livings, and you know, the money doesn't really matter. It's just whatever matters to you. But they're, oddly enough, they're earning more doing what they love than they did having a corporate job. And have tremendous flexibility and lifestyle. And some of these people, you know, like me, I do it, earn money, and still have a corporate job. I mean, in a sense, I'm in academia, so it's kind of hard to say that's a corporate job. But you know, there are people who are doing this inside and outside. And that's what we're going to explore is we're really going to try to get down to very, very basics of how you get started and what to do in that. And I've been engaging with some of you talking about that and what this means. Now, the price point is $98, and that's just a random price point. I'll tell you that because, generally speaking, if I was going to do this and do this in person, this would be, you know, well over $1,000 of activity. Just because of what we're doing and just because of I've done this a lot and people pay a lot for this kind of thing. But that's not really the point. You know, $98 is more of a, you got skin in the game, you're going to show up, you're going to try to do something. It's really, you know, that's amazing. And by the way, that's true for you. And part of what I'm doing in this webinar is kind of an example for things that you can do. And we'll talk about that during the webinar. But you have to look at, you've got to look at the fact that people only engage in what they have skin in. You know, that if they don't have any skin in the game, if they haven't invested anything, they don't participate. And that's weird, but I think I'm guilty of the same thing. When I pay, you know, I'll be in Dallas with Michael Hyatt and Ken Davis and many other people in November, and we've paid a lot of money to go there. Not only travel and things and hotels, but we've paid a lot of money just for the conference. So I notice I'm very engaged. I'm, you know, if I would go there for free, if I go to something in my own town that costs me nothing, I tend not to be as engaged. You know, and that's true, and I'm not trying to say that to justify. I'm trying to kind of lead you into what it is that you can do, because you're going to find the same thing true for your life and the kind of things you do. Probably most of you are giving stuff away for free that you could earn, that you could make a living doing. Let me say that again. Most of you are giving things away for free that could earn you a living. Maybe that's a better way to say that. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking at stuff that you can just do, things you can get started on immediately, some very basic steps. And a couple of you have responded to me that, you know, this is kind of where they're at. They see a lot of these webinars as smoke and mirror, you know, trying to sell you on there's one way to do things, and that trying to sell you on a franchise maybe to buy what they're doing. I'm not selling you anything. I'm just we're just really providing information, and that's all that we're going to do here. And we've done it numerous times, and we've done it very successfully. One thing I'm trying to do right now is gather up some feedback from people who have started businesses, but you know, I'll be quite frank with you, I'm kind of lousy at that follow-up, you know, asking people for testimonials. I was sending some of you emails just the other day telling you that that have provided me quotes or providing me some information, just an email. And I'm like, you know, the people who do PR with me, they're beating me up because I'm lousy at that. So anyway, we'll try to get some of that out to you about things that have done it. If nothing else, this is just a wonderful time of exploration. It's a wonderful time of exploration. And let me just see. One of the quotes that was sent to me by Clark, and I'm going to paraphrase. He said, and this was when we were speaking. This wasn't necessarily about this event. He said, you know, he hears a lot of people talk about follow your passion. He said, but what I told him and showed him made it not only seem doable, but profitable. And that's essentially what we're looking at here. How can we take your passion and follow your passion and that little glib statement we hear all the time, and how can we actually put meat to it to make it doable and profitable? That's just a really wonderful quote. That Clark wrote. It's amazing when we actually just are writing and talking, we have much better quotes. Probably if I would ask Clark for a specific quote, he would struggle over it. Then that's how I do too. So we'll be sending you there's the notes to this on DaleCallahan/31 or DaleCallahan.com/31. You'll find the notes to awaken your entrepreneur. Now let me kind of throw out one thing people are always asking me about is what tools do I use for productivity? You know, as I'm blogging and doing podcasting, which I'm not going to joke with you, is a pretty significant investment in time. You know, doing it once or twice is easy. Continuing to do it, not so easy. Staying with it for 9 months now that I think I've been doing this consistently, fairly consistently, minus one or two times when I was out of town. But it's pretty significant investment in time and energy. So I'm always looking for tools that will help. And so if you're a blogger, like a WordPress blogger or any of the standard blogging platforms, or if you're looking to be a blogger, let me just say, if you're a blogger and you're sitting there generating content and Maybe they're short articles, longer articles, or something. And especially if you're a Mac user, because I'm not sure there's an equivalent tool for Windows users. I'll have to look that up. I'll put that in the show notes too. But there's a tool called Mars Edit. Mars Edit. M-A-R-S Edit. E-D-I-T. If you just search on Mars Edit. And this is for a Mac. Again, I'll find the one that's the equivalent for the Windows. It's a tool I've been using, but I didn't really realize how powerful it was until I kind of accidentally stumbled upon some of the things it can do. But essentially, it allows you, and this, even if you're a blogger and you listen to this, it's going to sound a little insignificant, but it allows you to create your content offline, to format it offline, and to synchronize it with the website. So I can even go in here like this podcast. We are doing this podcast on October the 9th. It's about noon on October the 9th when I'm doing this. The content is written up in Mars Edit. It has a release date of October the 15th at 4 a.m. So assuming I don't mess anything up again, which we'll get to that in a minute, but I will hit the button, it will publish it to the blog, but it won't release it until that date. And it's pre-formatted, everything is there, everything is there. And it kind of is an offline editor that lets you do things quicker. If you're familiar with WordPress or some of these tools, while they're wonderful for what they do, they're kind of clunky to write things and to format content in. And this also helps me because I have a couple of people that help me edit, they may not call it editing. It's almost rewriting, but I think I'm getting better. I'm not real sure. But they help me to take the content. So it kind of allows me to share content and get it to some people, help get some of the typos out of it. And the other thing I struggle with when I write is clarity. Being very clear about what I mean. Maybe I struggle with that when I podcast too. So anyway, that tool is Mars Edit. The Windows tool, again, I will get that and post that up to the show notes. And since I mentioned making mistakes and errors, I have done that again. And every time I get in here and mess with the feed, let me go ahead and mention another tool. Feedly, and that's I'll put that in the show notes too. Feedly, feedly.com. It's a Google's tool. Feed, F-E-E-D-L-Y. It allows you to queue up. It's kind of what Google Reader used to be. It allows you to queue up blog posts or other content that's periodic that has an RSS feed. If you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. But it allows you to go in there and say, look, put my blog, you can add my blog. And so every time something gets released, you can read it through there. It's kind of like a magazine format. And especially if you're doing this on an iPad, it's really cool because it gives you almost a magazine layout of blogs. So you can follow, like I follow, I don't know how many blogs. I follow Michael Hyatt's, I follow Pat Flynn's, I follow Dan Miller's and various other things like the Wall Street Journal stuff. And it allows me to, and it pulls it all together. It's like a magazine made just for me of all the recent content. And it's called Feedly. And what I say all that to say that I was noticing mine wasn't feeding properly as we've been messing with some things. And I've been working with the theme developers, Michael Hyatt and his team on the theme. And we've messed a few things up. I messed a few things up and they helped me correct some things. But as I've done that, sometimes when I make a correction, it blasts out the last four or five blog posts that didn't go out and it goes out to everybody at one time. So if you're in that, you probably got an email of asking for forgiveness from me. I've done this twice. So I hope we've got it fixed now, and maybe I should say I'll just maybe need to keep my fingers out of it and let the people who are good at doing what they do. You know, I'm a technology person. I used to write code for a living in software, but I think I'm impatient. So I tend to just bang on stuff until it works. So anyway, If you saw that, I apologize. It is really weird though how many people respond to me in the apologies. And many of you have done that. You've responded to me in the apologies more so than the actual content. It's almost like, I think it's like, well, this, you know, I'm just goofing up just like everybody else. So I think we all like the fact that we're all kind of imperfect. Maybe I should leave the kind of out of there. So let's talk right now about vision. So I am looking at vision, and in particular, your vision. And one thing I need to do here, because I'm kind of changing gears. I've changed from kind of our intro to talking about the Awaken Your Entrepreneur to talking about the tools. One thing I've been trying to get done, and it's on my list to do to find somebody to do it, is music for the podcast or something that causes a mental break. So if you're somebody who does that kind of work, let me know. I've worked with Elance and got quotes, and you know I haven't kind of found what I'm looking for. I know some people I can go to that will do it in a heartbeat, but I'm probably trying it, working too hard at it. So anyway, if that's something, I'm looking for something kind of just simple to add a bit of dynamic to the podcast, just to break things up. So you know what I mean, like you hear on radio shows as you switch from one thought to another. So this is switching to another thought, and I won't even try to fake music for you. Let's look at vision. You know, and the question is, what will you be doing in a couple of years? And what is it going to look like? Now, I know this is like goal setting, and we're always being asked to set goals and everything. And if you're like the normal American, you go out and you set some goals, and then you throw them under something, and you forget about them. And you may actually reach them, and you may not. But creating a vision is a little bit different. I know if you work for a large corporation, the thought of vision and mission statement probably makes you a little bit sick to your stomach to even hear it, because it's often so phony and nobody really means what they say when they talk about a vision and a mission of an organization. But we're talking about yours. So here's what happened to me the other day. I go into a meeting with our Dean of Engineering, Ewan Alexander. Dr. Ewan Alexander is the new Dean of the School of Engineering at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And we're just chatting about, he's asking for my help on something. And so we're chatting, it's late in the afternoon. And he tells me that I was not at a meeting that he was presenting some PowerPoints to, but he wanted to show me what he did. And so he goes over and goes past, you know, all the normal PowerPoint stuff where he's kind of given the state of the School of Engineering. And he says, look at this. You know, he was actually kind of excited about it. He was like, look at this. And it was a newspaper article from the Chronicles of Higher Education, I think. I don't read Chronicles of Higher Education because I don't think I'm academic enough to read it. But he was showing me the article, and it had a date. I think it was October 4th, 2028. And it kind of, what it was an article, and then the big title, it was UAB, you know, launches its third part of the program. It's UAB School of Engineering in big bold letters. And there he had written an article. He starts reading the article. And he had actually, so what he had done is, this is a PowerPoint, he had taken an image of the Chronicles of Higher Education off their website. He took that, and then he kind of put in some text boxes and he basically rewrote the magazine, changed the date to 15 years in the future, 2028, and wrote an article as if it had already happened. And he was quoting people from the School of Engineering, you know, such and such faculty is saying, so he's quoting current people that are currently there, such and such person, you know, and so he had, you know, Del Callahan's quotes and some quote, and I don't know what they were, but it was like, here's what we've done. And it was stuff that we haven't really thought clearly about doing yet, but it was as if it was being reported in a news article in the future. And he even had a little diagram in there about how we do online education and how we do stuff in our process flow. And it was, you know, it looked like it was a process flow taken out of our one of our documents internal to how we do things, but it was made up in the future. And it was kind of cool. And then he went on and had something like a Wall Street Journal article that had, you know, something, and then some other article. And, you know, he had done this a couple of times where what he was doing, he was creating a vision. And so as he and I were talking about it, he was like, you know, I'm just trying to get our faculty and our staff out of their yesterday thinking and to quit thinking small. I'm trying to get them to think about the future. Where do they want to be? So I'm painting it. You know, and of course his comment was, I'm sure this is all wrong, but the point is, what can we do? What should we be doing? Where are our resources best used? Now, it was interesting to me. Now, this may not be anything you may have heard, this idea of vision boards and storyboards and things like that. It was interesting because we teach a lot of this kind of stuff in our graduate information engineering management program. However, I don't see a whole lot of academics thinking about stuff like this. It was shocking in the sense of that was going on, because it was you know, it's almost what you see as these soft skills. And when I'm looking at engineers, maybe I should say engineers instead of academics, but when I'm looking at engineers, they don't usually think like this. So you and I, for the most part, we kind of think alike. We have some similar thought patterns, let's put it that way. But this is one of them, kind of thinking about the future. So it just got me wondering as I sat with our strategic planner a couple of days ago and Don and I were talking, and I was like, what is it that would be the future of our graduate program? What does that look like? How can we lay that out as our future? And could you write it? So we were kind of looking at doing the same thing. No, but all of this, forget about the School of Engineering, forget about anything academic, forget about anything corporate. Let's talk about you and you creating a vision. I mean, think about that for just a minute. What would you like to accomplish in 5 years? Let me just talk about what a vision is. Because we talk about goals. Now, goals tend to be kind of specific. They tend to be, hey, I'm trying to lose 10 pounds by Christmas. Very specific, very measurable. You've heard about goal setting before. SMART goals, those kind of things. Vision is painting a picture as if it's already happened. Vision is what an architect does when he's got a plan for a building and they need to communicate what this building's going to look like to the people who are going to fund the building. And so they build a model with people and little cars and little trees, and they make it look as if when you build this building and you're walking up to this building, this is what you're going to see. They may even do a graphic modeling, you know, in terms of a visual, like a TV screen. This is what you're going to see, and it's what your life is going to look like when you show up at this job. You know, because I'm trying to, you want to move people past talk, and you want to move them to experience it, right? That's what we're doing with a vision. So that's what a vision is different than goals. It's helping you to experience what you're working toward. So just take a short set. What about you in 5 years? What would you like to think about 5 years? What would be the date 5 years from now? Me just doing my quick addition here, that would make the year 2018. So in October of 2018, think about how old your children will be. Think about, you know, what does that mean? What does it look like in the year 2018? What does your life look like? If you were being reported on, let's say by a local newspaper's reporting on the accomplishment, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. Now, it has to be your accomplishment. So maybe your accomplishment isn't something the newspaper would report about. Maybe it's a family accomplishment, but it might be. Let's take a local newspaper that you're trying to get your kids into Harvard. And I don't really like that because that's a vision for somebody else. But you're trying to do something like create a new business. I would like to create a gourmet popsicle business, like we have one here in Birmingham. I want to create a gourmet popsicle business, and in 5 years, what does that look like? What is the newspaper going to be reporting about how our gourmet popsicle business is now being featured on the Food Network? And and you're talking about it, how last month they came and interviewed you and did a feature of your store. But you're talking about it as if in the future, as it's a newspaper, which in the year 2018, there may not be such thing as paper in the newspaper, but it's a news. Maybe it's a website. Maybe it is a family reunion newsletter. You know, it really doesn't matter, but the point is to get specific. Think about, is it your hometown paper? Is it the Wall Street Journal? Is it your family reunion newsletter? Is it the New York Times? You know, don't worry that some of these things may be out of business by then. That's not, that's irrelevant. But you're looking for who would be reporting on what you're doing. So then you want to write an article as if someone else, who is highly impressed with your accomplishment, by the way, somebody else is reporting on it. Give specific details such as dates and times and peoples and cities. Again, think and write in the past tense or the present tense like a reporter would do. And that's what Ewan did a great job of that. He was talking about one of our people was... one of our faculty was named to the World Health Organization, a particular position, you know, as if this happened last month. Now, that's not where he is now, but he was reporting on it as if this guy now, his work has taken him to the level that he's internationally serving the World Health Organization. And let me just kind of give you some examples of some of these things. I'm using examples that I've seen in many places, but I think Jack Canfield probably does one of the best jobs of doing these kind of things in his book, Success Principles. Now, he does some of these in some of his other material too. And you'll find these written in other places. But Jack Canfield, the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, him and Mark Victor Hansen. But he has a couple. Number one, The Story of Monty Roberts. Now, you may not know who he is, but if you've ever heard of The Horse Whisperer, and there was a movie about The Horse Whisperer some years ago. When Monty, and the movie was essentially about Monty, but Monty, when he was a teenager in high school, his high school teacher asked him to write about what they wanted to do in the future, to write an article. Well, so Monty went off and thought about it, and what he wanted, he was poorer than poor. Very broke, a migrant farmer family. What he decided to do is he wanted to be a horse trainer, not just a horse trainer, but of the most expensive horses. And he wanted to have a 1,000-acre farm in California, I believe. And so he drew out, not only wrote the article, but he drew out a picture of the farm, of the ranch. And in detail, including what the ranch house would look like and how many rooms it would have and all that kind of stuff. Now, the interesting thing is he turned it in and he got an F on that paper because his teacher told him that he was a migrant farmer. That was going to cost millions of dollars to do. He didn't have the resources to go. And if he would get a better grade if he changed his paper. And, the famous part is he went back and told his teacher, you keep the F, I'm keeping my dream. But if you look at his ranch today, it looks an awful lot like his original drawing. Yeah, that was his vision. And I don't know this, but I can just imagine he has that folded up sheet of paper and he kind of looked at it a lot and thought about it a lot and dreamed about it a lot. Because that created an emotional experience for him about thinking about where the horses would go, where the fences would go, how he was going to operate his ranch on a daily basis. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to create an experience. Jim Carrey, the actor who's been in pretty much everything, you know, probably one of the most sought-after comedic actors today, who certainly makes a significant amount of money, but he was broke back in the 90s. I mean, broke. I think he was living in his car. And he took out a check and wrote himself a check for $10 million. And he put on the bottom in the memo field, "For acting service rendered." And he put it in his wallet. You know, and so he just dreamed about one day maybe somebody would be paying me $10 million to do for my acting. And he created this future vision as I'm going to be getting massive checks for my acting services. And so, you know, he thought about that. And when he thought through this, you know, it gave him that emotional experience of thinking through what it's going to feel like to be paid. Now, obviously, it worked for him. Now, Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen themselves, when they wrote the book Chicken Soup for the Soul, and in this was, you know, we think about this as, you know, it may not come to your mind anymore because it's not so prevalent, but it's a massively successful series. I mean, massively. The book, I don't know how it really did in terms of the New York Times bestsellers, but I know it was there forever. When they were trying to sell their book, and by the way, having very little success at it, they took a New York Times bestseller list and they edited it in, or, you know, whether they whited it out, I don't know how they did, and then they put their book in the same font, looking exactly like it, and they photocopied it and put it up on their wall as if Chicken Soup for the Soul was number one, the New York Times bestseller. And so it was their constant reminder of, how's it going to look when you got your book on the bestseller list? Now, obviously, it worked for them. Now, we see these kind of examples of future vision over and over and over again, where in the book Success Principles, he's got lots of these, not all listed in one spot, but, you know, things to think about. So, you know, here's why having a vision works. Is you're doing this in present tense as if it's being reported back to you. And when you do this, you have to be very concrete. You have to really think through what are the specifics. You know, so if you're looking at a home, I want to have a nice home in the future. Well, you know, what does that mean? What city is it in? How big is it? What neighborhood is it in? Is it on 1 acre? Is it on 50 acres? Is it in woods? What color is it? Is it brick? What do the rooms look like? How does the kitchen laid out? You know, because we think about, yeah, I'd like to have a nice home one day, but get specific. What does that mean? You know, and when you're working towards something, get specific. Companies, you know, you can make fun of this if you want, but this is what companies do, is they try to get specific about what they're working for, because they're going to engage an awful lot of money and time and energy trying to accomplish something. You got to be really clear what you're trying to accomplish. Otherwise, you end up just running in a circle. You know, when you build an automobile, you build models and you test them and you evaluate them and you see what works before you get a clear picture of what you're going to build before you build it, because it takes effort to build it. The last thing I want to do is, you know, work really hard to have a house and then get in a house and I hate it because it's in the wrong state. It's, you know, on a very little bitty lot, and I wanted a farm and you know, the kitchen is tiny, but the house is big. Yeah, I mean, the last thing you want to do is accomplish what you feel like was your goal, and you weren't clear about what your goal was. We see this happen all the time. Now, when we were doing this in the School of Engineering, you know, he had very specific, he even had a diagram in this article from the Chronicles of Higher Education for our School of Engineering vision that was a diagram of our process flow. And it was just like, here's what it's going to look like when we're done. You know, and it's nothing like what it is today. You know, here's the key that I struggle with. And I think you probably struggle with too, because I have yet to meet very many people that don't. And it's a lack of clarity. A lack of clarity, of vision, of what are we after? And vision gives us some clarity. People just, generally speaking, and especially in wealthy nations, we don't know what we want. We just show up day after day at work, letting somebody else decide our future. Why? That's not very successful. I mean, you're solving somebody else's vision and dream. You're working out somebody else's goals. That's fine. But what are you after? Now, the caveat here is you're probably thinking to yourself, well, Dale, this all sounds really nice. I've drawn out my vision. I know friends who have drawn out their vision many times, and it doesn't work. They never reach what they went after. They, you know, I agree. I see that all the time. I talk to people all the time, and they'll read all the stuff. They'll do all the stuff. They'll read books. They'll read success principles. They'll have vision statements. You know, and so it won't. It while it's part of the piece of pie, it's not everything. Action is what wins. You know, you always have to have action. You always have to make things happen. Leonardo da Vinci has a quote that he was famous for. It says, "I've been impressed with the urgency of doing. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Being willing is not enough. We must do." And that's a key statement. Action is absolutely required. But the two going together, because if you have action and you don't really know what you're working toward, you can be it's kind of like that dog chasing their tail. They can be really, really busy. They can take a lot of activity, but nothing's happening. Even if they catch their tail, what have they done? The same thing is true. I can be, you know, if you look at the normal, everyday, corporate, working American person, they're extremely busy, very action-oriented, but there's no vision. And then you look at the people who are very vision-oriented, but there's no action. There's no results. It takes both of them. Vision plus action yields results. So that's just something to think about today. As a matter of fact, I would even encourage you just to figure out what your vision. Can you paint a picture of what it looks like? Hey, you know, it's kind of fun to think through what it is you're trying to accomplish. So, hey, share with me what you've come up with. I mean, I love vision statements. I love people who have a vision. You know, what is yours? Do you dare to share it? I mean, you can add a comment here to the blog and share it under dalekellyhan.com/31. You can add a comment and share your vision. Love to hear it. Love to be part of it. Thank you so much for your time. Look, sending comments, and for those of you that are sending email, you know, I, and several of you have told me, hey, you know, I apologize for bothering you. It's not. I mean, I may not get to the email. I do have a, you know, like you, I probably have a pretty heavy email load, but I really enjoy hearing from people who are engaging with what we're doing, because this, while we're doing this, is we're doing this for you. So, you know, those of you that are asking me questions, those of you that are, you know, providing me suggestions, it's all really, I mean, I may not say that enough in the email. I really and truly appreciate it. It's extremely helpful to me and extremely motivating to me just to get feedback. And for people to say, you know, somebody was telling me in an email that, you know, something I was presenting was not clear, you know, that I was not giving them a clear message of where I was going. You know, that's, And they weren't really being critical. They were being constructively critical, I should say. You know, and that's helpful. That's helpful to, because all of us need each other to get better. And we really do. We really need each other to kind of sharpen, you know, iron sharpens iron. So that's, you know, this is not me just talking to you. This is a conversation, I hope. So, you know, join in. And this is not just true for me, but as you're listening to other podcasts, as you're engaging with other blogs, join in the conversation. And you know, you have something to offer. Just because somebody's out there writing something or talking about something on the internet or on a television station or on a radio show doesn't really matter. They're no more qualified than you are. So join in. Join in and be part of the conversation. You can go into, you can even leave a message on my blog at dalecallahan.com where this podcast generates from. And there's a place to leave a voice message, which some of you do that. That's always fun. You feel like you kind of get to know people better with that. And on iTunes, you can leave comments, leave ratings. Thank you very much for those of you that have. In any way you can help me, I will tell you one weakness of mine is getting self-promotion. I don't know if that's the right word, but getting content out there is not my biggest skill set. I'm pretty decent about generating content, but you know, getting stuff out there, connecting with a larger audience, that's work that people around me do much better than I do. And we're just now starting to do that after I've kind of got a feel for what's going on here. I'm just now pushing that. So any way you can help to help us to get the word out. If you find these podcasts and this blog post useful, you know, share it with others. I mean, there's lots of things through Facebook, through Twitter, or just through email, or just telling somebody, you know, share it with others. So thank you so much for your comments and your help and your feedback. But today, let's go make something happen. In particular, let's go create a vision.